Kriya story, whatever. Sometimes it is said that this path of bhakti is like walk on a razor's edge. Some take it to mean that there are those millions of those do's and don'ts, and if you miss one of them, then you slip off and fall down. But I take it this way. Take it as you may. That for a person in this world who is kind of really absorbed in it and working there and to get things and, you know, the karmic activities, doing work and reaping the results, there is a whole plethora of karmic results every day, right? Things happen, in other words. Lots of things. And some are good, some are bad. Some, you know, take us off balance and some put us in balance. And it's like general life for many people today, I would say, in this rather, you know, materially absorbed civilization. It's like that, and it's generally mixed bag. And some even, you know, like in Sweden, we have these expressions, you know, just en applåd, or just how are you? Well, you know, surviving. You just need to we joke sometimes like that. You just need to bear it somehow or other, you know, till it's over. Life is short anyway. So that's generally, you know, for many, I guess, the way to deal with existence in this world, this Bhurloka world. Earth, that we call it. Now, when you really start to become more aware of what's really going on, you know, the three lives and the three worlds, and that we are actually eternal people, that we live forever and that our happiness comes from within, as we sometimes say, but it's here in us. When we live right, when we are in balance, when we live sattvic, shuddha sattvic, when it's really sattvic, you know, so it becomes a path towards that. And that's the yoga path. So those who walk that yoga path where bhakti is, you know, pretty much up there at the very goal of it, and say bhakti is the goal and the means, every step on the bhakti path is the goal. It's like where the searching has become finding, really. Now I found, and today again I found. So anyway, that's the dynamics of eternal life. But what it means then is, I have experienced at least, and I think that many
to me that when you are, you know, there is a certain, you become more aware of that balance to stay on there, especially in this world, which is just, you know, filled with this noise and turmoil and down here on earthly level, it is sometimes hard to keep that balance there, right? To eat right, to do your sadhana, to do this and that, to live sattvic, or to follow the way, the Tao, as the Chinese call it. And then you may notice, I mean, at least this is my own experience, that it, yeah, you could say this, you know, there is a little, the path becomes kind of razor's edge, maybe a very drastic metaphor thing, I don't, but the point is, what it means is that you will notice it, that when you go off the balance there, the contrast, because all this, you know, what is happiness and what is misery, what is pleasure, what is pain, these are in contrast with each other, so to speak. So if someone on this path, you know, on bhakti, all of a sudden finds him or herself in the situation of any average meat-eating sports fan, office worker, whatever, I'm just trying to take some average person here, and the life that such a person experiences on a daily basis, they would feel that they're suffering. Oops. Because the contrast is no matter what you're used to. So you're used to a much higher level of, you could say, inner pleasure and satisfaction and peace and inspiration and energy life. But it's also like in a world which is on the other side of it, is more passionate, rajas and tamas, and you've got to be social, you've got to some or other function in this world, then it's natural, of course, you know, it's easy to be a little bit off balance. Sometimes it may appear even very much out of balance, but as I also just told my son the other day, that I also learned that when you really think you're so out of it and everything is just finished, it's the end of it all, there's no hope anymore, then you're often close to, and I mean, I'm talking from personal experience, the very next day, often, is completely bright and something new. You realize something new, some new level of your life. And that's how life is. That's what makes it interesting. This is how this path is as well. And I would say this slipping out of balance, it's not about falling down. It's about that, yes, you will definitely experience, you know, when you slip on a razor blade, right? You cut yourself and there's pain. In the same way that the more you kind of progress on this bhakti path, when you slip a bit out of balance here or there, whether by your own folly or social demands or whatever, you will feel it. You wake up one day and you're just, whoa, I'm miserable and what is this? I feel this and I feel that, and it generally comes from within. And it may be something as simple as eating the wrong thing. Right? Something that day before. Or how about the fact that you hung out on the pub that night, last night, and you're getting it, your karma for that ignorant tamas activity, poisoning your body to forget reality, you know, all that kind of stuff that we all know from our real life here and now. And I would say, and I think I'm right when I say that, especially, you know, these old, we old devotees, you know, are spent our lives walking, trying to walk this path of bhakti, the bhakti marga. And some of us, you know, very intensely so for many years. And, you know, sometimes slipping, sometimes this, sometimes that, but we still find the path there somewhere and we are back on it. I think we can recognize this situation from our own lives. So again, it's about Dharma, it's the way, it's the Tao, it's the Satic, which it's not about a certain kind of dress or group belonging or language or whatever. It's about daily lifestyle, and that lifestyle you can adopt even when you are in, you know, working in the office and watching football and hanging out with friends and family and, you know, taking care of your house. Average person in Sweden, I guess. Because it's about what do you eat, what food do you have on your table? Do you eat dead animals? Well, then, you know, there's going to be, you're going to get effects from that. Not only physical, but all the poison and crap that you get through that junk that they don't even want to show you how it's made. But also, yes, and you know it, and you don't want to think of it if you're a meat eater. Partaking of the murder of so many animals, cows, pigs, bulls, especially those, you know, those are, in India, they're considered the cow and the bull is a father and mother, mother and father of the humans, doing so much work and giving this beautiful milk and fertilizer and energy. You can make methane gas and run cars, you know. It's so anyway, but not only that, just eating wrong, drinking this, that, doing that, and we know it, then you feel bad. Maybe not at the moment, maybe you're, you know, when you're drunk, you may go out. But I also saw, not very rarely even, friends, when we were in our late teens, breaking down and crying and being completely miserable and life is just hopeless and everything is useless and I want to kill myself when they got drunk. So it's... But there we are and we will find today I feel happy or today I feel miserable. Today my body feels strong and good and healthy and it's not in the way. And then I feel strong and good and inspired and I want to do good and nice things. But if the body is like down under or having pain here and there, it's terrible. I mean, that in itself changes life so much. And of course, but then when you are there, that's the beauty of this world, is that even when you are there, you can learn something, and you do learn something from that as well. And when you get yourself out of that pit, then you've got something valuable to, you know, share with others, teach others in this situation. So that's how it goes here with everything. That's the beauty, the nice thing of this world. It's really a school, you could say. It's really for learning and then sharing what we learn, the good things. And in this way, we go back again to our constitutional, homely life in our home world. It's not about different worlds or places and locations, you know, it's about where your heart and mind is. Location will follow. So, yeah, that's as simple as it is. So sattvic means to live a balanced life. To eat sattvic means, you know, vegetarian, of course, obviously. Some say vegan. Yeah, sure. As little violence against others as possible. But, you know, not going all rajasic with it, you know, into some kind of frenzy that I have to. But just, yeah, it's a balance we find, and we will, you know, we will be accountable for it ourselves. In other words, it's not that I have to do this and that to please my, you know, some leader authority somewhere. Then I can know if I did it right or wrong, good or bad, if I get a nod from my guru. But it's about, you know, and that's what the guru is here to teach us, that's all. It's about a lifestyle that will make us happy. Some they are serving some leader or something and they are miserable and the leader is just enjoying life like anything. I mean, we saw the gurus, right? Even in our, you know, where I grew up, living, you know, with servants and the best food and the nice living facilities and everything, you know. And those servants, they go back to their quarters filled with rats and poverty. Yep. So, you know, that's not sattvic. So it's, you know, not, again, it's not about establishing some institution and label it as a great sattva corporation. question. Society, but serve us, and then there will be sattva. Of course, could be working on as well, but it's spreading knowledge and so that matters.